If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would remind us who you are, remind us who we are, and remind us who you have called all of us to be together. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jesus one time was speaking with disciples, and I believe there was a crowd there as well, and he said this. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." It's an important and insightful analogy, and one we've surely experienced in life, because it reminds us that what we build on, how strong our foundation is, actually matters. Especially when the rains fall and the streams rise and the winds blow. Of course, we know that these challenges do have a tendency to come. And so it leads us to some questions. What is our foundation? How do we know that that foundation is firm? And will our foundation be able to support us through the storm? These are the questions I want us to begin with today. Of course, the reality that many of us here in Texas understand is that foundations are important, and most of us have learned that in some ways the hard way. Because we've experienced or at least heard stories of people who had foundation troubles. A few months ago, I was talking to a guy who was living near a lake, and he was pointing out that neighbor's house and this neighbor's house. They've had to repair their foundation three times, I think. The ones over there have had to repair it once, and they replaced it once, and I think they have troubles again. The one over, and he just kept going. Because the problem is that the ground isn't always stable. And when the ground moves, so does everything else. But if the foundation is weak, when it moves, it cracks or even breaks, and the walls come tumbling down. It's funny, as someone who spent a lot of his childhood in California, my default understanding of the world is that every once in a while, the ground simply shakes. So you never leave anything breakable on the edge of something, precariously balanced, as it were, because the ground just has a tendency to move every once in a while. So you need to have a firm foundation. But again, how do you do it? And maybe more to the point, what is your foundation? And what does that even mean? I mean, if you, in your life, right now, had to identify your primary foundation, what would it be? What sets your schedule and controls your time? What do you turn to when you're anxious or worried or stressed? What do you put your hope into, both for this season and for the future? Maybe the legacy you want to leave, where do you put your hope? What do you rely on, hold on to for your stability, for your security, for your support? And seriously, take a second. This is going to be important today. Take a second to think through that, because this is important. What is your foundation? What do you actually build your life upon? Because we know that the sands have a tendency to shift. Time changes things. Earth erodes and our foundations are shaken. So they'd better be strong. While we think about that, let me tell you a little bit about what we've been working on. A few weeks ago, we began looking at our longing for community, for closeness, for connection. And there's something in us that knows we need other people. We need family and friends. We need to be part of the group, the gang, the troop, the tribe. We need to know that we belong. But as much as we long for these things, we also push against them. Because the reality is that community comes with a cost. And to be quite frank, we're often unwilling to pay that price. I mean, we want all the benefits of community. We want the feelings of closeness. We want to be connected, and yet we don't want to commit. We don't want to risk. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to have to admit that we might need someone else. To further complicate matters, as we talked about as we began this series, our world is changing. As one author put it, we are moving from a culture of we to a culture of I. And as we prize our individualism more, we end up feeling more isolated. As we go it alone, we end up feeling more lonely. As we hold ourselves just outside of the group, we find that we don't really feel a part of the group. We don't belong. And this is the conundrum we face. We know we need community. We even at times want community. But that need and that want aren't always enough to overcome our fear, our apathy, our busyness, or our selfishness. And so we don't pursue community. Even as we long to belong, to be known, to be loved, to be chosen, often we don't value it and we don't pursue it. Today we're going to be looking at our longing for stability. So let's take a look at God's plan for us in all of this. Please turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Amen. As our passage begins, Paul is transitioning from a planting-harvesting metaphor to a building metaphor. We are God's field is quickly turning into we are God's building. And to understand what's happening, it's important that we remember the context of the letter to the Corinthians. The city of Corinth was destroyed in about 146 BC, and then it was rebuilt about 100 years later. And it quickly became a strategic, economic, and defensive location. And so it grew very fast. What's more, it became a melting pot of cultures with a lot of wealth and not a lot of oversight. It was a place where they lifted up status and power, influence and connection, where they lifted up self. And so you can easily imagine what kinds of foundations they would have had, what kind of foundations they would have valued. Having the right stuff, having a lot of money, looking to possessions as foundation. Being the strongest, the smartest, the most able, the best looking, looking to our abilities as foundation. having the coolest friends, the best job, the most put-together family, the right house, looking to our status for our foundation. Being the most connected, the most influential, looking to our importance as foundation. But therefore, one of the challenges that this early church faced was simply in understanding how it was supposed to live in this culture and yet be distinct from this culture. What's more, in a semi-affluent or successful society, it's hard not to put a lot of stock in ourselves, in our own abilities, because we assume that's how we got there in the first place. Alas, we aren't much of a foundation to build upon. Because when the storms come, or when the fire comes, or when a pandemic comes, and they do, suddenly our foundations are put to the test, and a lot of things tend to fall down. And this is probably why we have a longing, a deep longing for stability, for security, for support. Actually, we probably long for those things because God wanted us to learn to turn toward Him, to find our strength in Him. But we'll get there in a few minutes. And so let's take a look today at what God is working to build in and with us. And we'll start by looking at the right foundation. Then we'll look at the quality of our build, probably materials and work, before finally digging deeper into what we're building. Again, start with the foundation, then the quality of our work, before finally getting to what it is we actually are building. And we begin, of course, as all buildings do, with our foundation. In college, we had a giant building where they tested and built overpasses. So they build these huge foundations and columns and connecting structures. Then they put a road on top of it. And then they had an even bigger machine, a giant actuator that would press and torque and even shake these structures in order to stress test them, to see how they would hold up under impact, in an earthquake, under extreme weather conditions. These giant machines would push on these structures until they cracked or fractured or even broke. And then the structural engineers could try and design them better. When I saw this building, I almost changed my major. But the larger point is that this foundation testing is so important because of how essential it is to find something strong, something secure, something safe. Because we need stability in a world that shakes, that gives way underneath us, that crumbles away. Because we don't want to lose our balance. It strikes me that we don't normally think much about what our life is built upon. It strikes me that there are a lot of different things we could actually build our lives upon. It even strikes me that many of those things are good things. The only question left is, are they enough? I mean, we can build our lives on our ability, our status, our wealth, our work, our children, our family, our reputations, our legacy, so much more. And of course, some of these are better foundations than others, but none of them seem fully secure. All of them can fail. What's more, it strikes me that even if you've been building on a weak foundation for decades, it still is better to find a better foundation if you can. To switch foundations to a stronger foundation if there's one available. Even if it takes some work, even if it takes some time, even if it's going to be costly, it's still worth changing foundations to a stronger one. Because the reality is that a better foundation makes a difference. Many years ago now, my mom noticed some cracks forming in her house in California. And so she had some foundation repair people come and check it out. amazingly, they let her know that there really wasn't any kind of proper foundation under her house. There are a lot of different kinds of foundation. This was basically the ground, which is no foundation at all. And so what they had to do was basically dig under her whole house bit by bit, and as they went, they would build the foundation behind them as they continued to dig their way through, adding more foundation behind them all the way. So when they finally came out the other side, her house was upon a real foundation. The reality is that switching from a weaker foundation to a stronger foundation is always better in the long run. Returning to our passage, we know that our better and stronger foundation is supposed to be Jesus, but what does that mean? Especially because for many, the Christian part of our lives, the religious part of our lives, is just one other piece of our life. It can be a little peripheral, a little superficial, maybe even sometimes a little cosmetic. Important, but not foundational. More of a nice wall, maybe a window, than something we stand and live upon. Frankly, to understand what the difference might be, it might be helpful to think about what a foundation is really for. When we talk of foundations, we recognize that foundations give a structure stability. Foundations distribute the weight of the structure over the ground. Foundations anchor the structure against natural forces. Foundations provide a level surface to build upon. So as we look to our foundation, we should recognize that Jesus and our faith should be such a foundation. And as such, Jesus should give our lives structural stability. Jesus should distribute our stresses into his strength, anchor our lives against external forces, provide balance and support for our lives. This may require us to make some adjustments in our lives. We may need to recognize that that is not necessarily our current foundation. We may need to begin a careful process of not just renovation, but reconstruction. We may need to find a way to look at Jesus and our faith in a totally different and totally new way. And yet remember, a stronger foundation is always worth the switch, the effort and the time and the cost, because the storms come and you want to be on a firm foundation. Of course, once the foundation is in place, then we actually need to build something on it. But as we do, we need to remember that the quality of our build is what matters. Both how we build and our choice of materials matters. In our passage, we are told to build with care. We are told to choose the right construction materials. We are told that we should do our work with quality. And the reason we are to build this way is not just that it's important for the sake of the building and for the builder, but it's because our building will be tested. It's like the story of the three little pigs. One pig builds out of straw, the other pig builds out of sticks. And why? Because it's easy, because it's available, because it's familiar, because it's quick, and because it allows them to get back to their fun and frivolity. Of course, the third pig builds out of bricks, which is a lot more work, and it takes a lot of time, and it's way more expensive. But of course, when the big bad wolf shows up and huffs and puffs, the pigs quickly learn important lessons about building with quality. And let's face it, big bad wolves who huff and puff do inevitably come. Our passage makes it very clear that life has a way of testing us, and so we must learn how to build with care. Maybe even more interestingly and relevant is that many of us recently have experienced some testing. Maybe some of us still are experiencing it. Those with more stability and more community and more perspective seem to me to have weathered this storm better. In other words, if before life gives us a bit of a shake, you are barely balancing everything, and there's no strength or slack in your system anywhere, and if you're doing all you can to just keep your head above the water, and you're feeling all alone in the process, then it doesn't take much of a shake for everything to fall back to the ground. But if somehow you've been building carefully, intentionally, with quality, your experience might have been very different. Maybe with a little bit less fear, a little less frustration, a little bit less anger, a little bit less hopelessness. And let's be clear, that's not to say that everyone doesn't experience the shaking. No one gets through testing without some significant challenges and struggles. This is never easy for anyone. If it is, it wouldn't be testing. But it also serves as a reminder about why it's so important to live intentionally and carefully, as we not only build on a good foundation, but also we build with good materials, and we build well as we build with quality. And it's important to remember that the challenge is to build well, not just during the testing, but before. When everything's going well, to build with quality. Which brings us to our third point, and maybe the most important one for this sermon and series. And that is simply to recognize and remember what we're building and what we're really building with and on. Because while I've been focusing on the what, the truth is that we really have been talking about a series of who's. Of course, it became clear that the who of the foundation is Jesus. But then let's talk about not what we're building with, but again, who. You see, the you that I've been using all throughout this sermon and our passage is actually the plural form of the word. In other words, this passage isn't about me and it's not about you, it's about us together. Paul makes this much more explicit right at the end of the passage. In verse 16 it says, "You yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst." And then he goes on, "For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple." In other words, we are being built together to become a temple of the Holy Spirit. We together are the place where God's Spirit dwells. We together as the church are filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, maybe we could even picture it this way. The building that we're constructing looks a lot like us standing around together, maybe in a circle, with the Spirit of God holding us together and filling us up and being there present amongst us and between us and in us, together. Which brings us to the other who that we need to be focused on. Because we are told that we are being built into a temple of the Lord. And because that's a hard image to wrap our heads around, maybe it's worth remembering what a temple is for. Because a temple is seen as an earthly dwelling for God. It's a place where we go to encounter and even offer ourselves to God. It's a place that we recognize is set apart, is holy for God. In other words, if we are being built into a temple of the Holy Spirit, the idea here is that the Spirit will be dwelling in us all the time, continually present in our lives together. More than that, not only we, but others should encounter God in us and through us, through our presence, through our words, through our actions, through our attitudes, through our service. People should experience God when they're around us. And then finally, it means that we are actually called to be different, to be separate and special, because who we are and how we live and what we are together reflects on the one who lives inside of us. This is why it's so important for us to be in community together. This is why it's so important that we live our lives upon the foundation of Jesus. This is why it's so important that we hold on to each other. Because we are only the temple of God together. Let us pray. Lord God, we do have a deep longing for stability. We have a deep longing for our lives to be more stable and strong and secure and supported. And so we pray that Jesus would become more and more our foundation, that our lives would be resting on Him, that our lives would be anchored to Him, that we would find our support in Him. Lord, then help us to build. Help us build our lives together through the power of the Holy Spirit, uniting us and binding us together, that we might build with quality, that we might build our community together with quality. And finally, Lord, help us to be not just your people, but your temple, that others might see you in us through our service, through our lives, through our worship. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us find our stability in you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.